Hello and welcome to the Barton Legal Podcast. I'm Bill Barton, a solicitor who lives and breathes construction and engineering law. At Barton Legal, we help clients in the UK and around the world on everything from litigation and arbitration to drafting and negotiating contracts. And in this podcast, we unpack the latest legal trends and problems facing the industry, providing you with straight-talking insights to help break down these complex legal questions. So, let's get on with today's episode.
Hi everybody, I'm Bill Barton from Barton Legal. Today, I'm bringing you a legal bite size and we're going to have a look at mediation. So the aim of this is just to give you a very quick and brief overview of what mediation is and how it might be applied and some little bits of information for you, just so that you've got a heads up. So if someone mentions mediation to you or says, oh, we should go to mediation or alternative dispute resolution, you've got an idea what it is and you can ask some meaningful questions. Let's dive into mediation. What is mediation? Mediation is a form of alternative dispute resolution, often referred to as ADR, in which parties agree to attend a without prejudice meeting in an attempt to resolve their dispute. The day is moderated by a mediator who is a neutral and independent party, so that means they have no connection with either party, and they help the parties navigate towards a settlement. And without prejudice, which is subject to another legal bite-size, just means that everything that is discussed on a without prejudice basis can't be referred to outside of those negotiations. So any documents you can't refer to within court proceedings or anything else is basically and essentially private between the parties. What are the positives of mediation? Well, I think it serves to help avoid the costs of litigation, which is notoriously expensive. It also may save a client from taking on the additional stress and worry of formal proceedings. And it can lead to a quicker resolution than litigation, which might take months, if not years, to get to trial. How do you initiate a mediation? Well, it's simply by one party inviting the other party to mediation. And this can happen at any stage in proceedings, but I would say it's most beneficial the earlier the better, probably as part of the pre-action protocol process, which has been subject to another legal bite-size. Once the parties have agreed to mediate, a mediator needs to be agreed and appointed. So the initiating party will often be responsible for compiling a list of possible mediators, providing their CVs and their hourly rates, and give that to the other side for them to consider. It's not a complicated or contentious stage, but it's not uncommon for parties to struggle to come to an agreement as to who to appoint, and there can be lots of reasons for that. But once you've agreed a mediator, you then agree a date and a venue for the mediation. And it's important to consider the convenience of the date and location when you're doing that. When we're involved in the mediation, we prefer generally to use a neutral venue, such as barrister's chambers or a general meeting space. It can often be daunting to a client to attend the offices of the other sides. And also, there's often a view, rightly or wrongly, that if you hold a mediation within, you know, your location, you get some advantage. I don't actually think it's true, but it's easier to avoid it. The final step of the mediation process to be underway is to sign the mediation agreement. That will be provided by the mediator, and once it's signed, parties are locked in, and if for any reason a party defaults, then cost consequences may come into play. That might be just in relation to the cost of the mediation and the mediator, but it also may impact in proceedings because a court may decide at a later date you should have taken part in that mediation and you could be penalised in a number of ways. So I'm next going to look at how you prepare for a mediation, because whilst it doesn't carry the same deadlines and requirements as litigation or arbitration or indeed adjudication, there are still deadlines and there are a number of things that you need to think about and do. So, first of all, probably is drafting a mediation position statement. Now, this is usually drafted by solicitors or perhaps by counsel, depending on how complex the dispute is. And the purpose of this statement is simply to explain the party's arguments so that each party is clear on the arguments being put forward to the mediation. The position and purpose of the position statement isn't to prove your case, it's merely to set out the arguments and some of the evidence on which you're going to rely. So it's not vastly detailed, should only be a few pages, and in my advice, it should be as neutral as possible. You also need to agree a mediation bundle of documents. So the parties are required to agree and produce a mediation bundle to give to the mediator so that each party and the mediator are all working from the same batch of documents. The bundle will usually consist of key documents such as contracts, agreements, and important correspondence and emails. However, it's important to note that just because documents are not included in the bundle doesn't mean to say that you can't produce them or rely on them within the mediation itself. However, you might be asked to explain why that wasn't put in the mediation bundle. So again, my advice is just to be as open as possible. If you think you're going to refer to or rely on a document, include it in the bundle. It's going to come out at some point, so you might as well get on with it. What about other preparation? Well, I think there's a number of other useful tasks that will contribute to whether a mediation is successful or not. It's common practice for the mediator to host a pre-mediation meeting with each party. This is going to be the first opportunity you will have to make a good impression on the mediator, so it's important not to bombard them with information or stories about what the other side have done or haven't done or should have done. So instead, use the meeting to introduce yourself and your clients and anybody else who will be attending the mediation to the mediator and make sure that everybody makes a good impression on the mediator, which means they need to be up to speed with everything that's gone on and they need to have a good understanding of a mediation themselves. We often find it useful to have a pre-mediation meeting actually with our clients and the wider team, so experts and counsel, which are very common in construction disputes because it's important that they are clear on what their role is going to be in the mediation, which is generally going to last a day. And it's important to discuss with each of your team as to what they're going to be dealing with, the point you want them to emphasize, perhaps areas where you're willing to concede issues, and the points that you anticipate the other side will bring up, and therefore who's going to deal with those. And all of that gives your client confidence. Your client should also be involved in how they're going to address the mediator and the other side's arguments. So there's a few important things it's worth considering. Mediation does not guarantee settlement. Unfortunately, sometimes parties are just too far apart in their positions and a settlement can't be reached. But that doesn't mean the mediation was a waste of time and costs. It will have provided you with an insight into the other side's argument and are they strong or weak. And you will have satisfied the court's requirements that the parties make all reasonable efforts to resolve matters before issuing proceedings. The courts are very good at imposing more obligations on parties to attempt mediation prior to trial. So my advice is always try to resolve your dispute as early as possible by mediation. Equally, think during the course of proceeding, is it possible to have a further mediation? Never count it out. The other side may not agree to mediation, and that's frustrating, but you can't force them. But you might need to think about why have they not agreed to mediate and factor that into your planning for the proceedings and factor into applications you might make later on as to costs. Always bear in mind that mediation is a confidential process, so it's held on a without prejudice basis. So everything and anything discussed in the mediation cannot be referred to in any ongoing or subsequent proceedings. Also, bear in mind that parties will usually bear their own costs of the mediation, and they will normally split the costs incurred by the mediator and any venue costs. So you need to be prepared for that. The mediation itself will usually start with a joint session between both parties and the mediator. The parties and their legal representatives will introduce themselves and set out their clients' respective positions. We like our clients to prepare their own short opening statement, setting out how the dispute has impacted their lives and what they're seeking from the day. This is a powerful tactic, in my view, and it allows your client to address directly their counterpart in a calm and controlled environment. And that should be a very short and, again, reasonably neutral in terms of the dispute, but it should convey to the other side and to the mediator the impact it's had on that individual and their company and why they want to resolve it that day. It shows a willingness to participate. After the opening session, the mediator will speak privately with each party, and the parties will discuss the opening session, and they'll put their arguments and points across to the mediator in private and confidentially. One of the benefits of mediation is that you can instruct the mediator to withhold certain information from the other side so that you can speak very freely with the mediator without having to worry about that information being transmitted to the other side. The mediator will then begin working between the various parties. And you can have multiple parties in the mediation. But it's important for you to remember that the mediator is going to remain neutral and independent throughout. It's common for negotiations in a mediation to start very slowly, as parties get a feel for each other and can often have their guards up for large parts of the day. Negotiations, not surprisingly, start speeding up through the day as people's focus turns not just to settlement, but to the prospect of being able to go home. And you shouldn't underestimate that. We often refer to the latter stages of the mediation as the ping-pong negotiations because it does get quicker. During the negotiations, I would also advise you to stay firm in your position whilst being flexible. We've seen many mediations where parties think that the flexibility should be very one-sided, and that rarely leads to settlement. So it's important to keep sight of the facts that you've put forward and to look at what has been given to you. On points that you feel very strongly about, fine, stick to them. But if there are areas where you believe that you can be flexible, by showing that flexibility and the willingness to engage in a discussion, you're likely to earn concessions from the other side. And whilst you may be making concessions, that might be on a sort of tit-for-tat basis so that you'll concede something if the other side do. And that's how the day progresses. If the matter settles, and a detailed settlement agreement will be signed by the parties. And that settlement agreement remains private, except in the situation where perhaps a party having signed the agreement doesn't comply with it. You will normally include a provision that perhaps that can be enforced. That's not always the case. So if you go away from the mediation and you haven't signed an agreement, but you've come to what you think is an agreement, it will be very difficult to enforce it later. So sort of the last point for mediation is always go prepared with the outlines of a settlement agreement on the terms that you think will apply, but be prepared for the fact that if you come to settlement late in the day, it might still take 1 or 2 hours to actually get the settlement agreement finally agreed, because all little points and paragraphs are going to be argued over because that last phase. So I hope you've enjoyed this Legal Bite Size. Thanks very much for listening. And if you do have any questions, please get in touch with me, Bill Barton, from Barton Legal. And you can find my details on our website, which is www.bartonlegal.com. Thanks very much for listening to this Legal Bite Size.
Thank you for joining me for today's Barton Legal podcast. Please make sure you follow the show in your podcast app to get new episodes as soon as they're released. We'll be tackling another important topic in this month's Barton Legal webinar, and you can register for free and watch back our previous webinars at bartonlegal.com. Why don't you connect with me on LinkedIn and follow Barton Legal to keep up to date with all the legal trends and news? I look forward to speaking to you again in the next Barton Legal podcast.